Guys, we are so excited that you joined us again for episode 3 of Let's Chat, and I'm so excited. I also want to say thank you to everybody who's watched the first 2 episodes. It's been so fun to just hear from you guys and how you've been blessed by these episodes. I'm so excited for this particular episode because I am joined by my very good friend Candace Burney, and if you don't know her, she is an incredible woman of God. I'm so thankful for your friendship, and I'm thankful it was something that I feel like you are someone that I didn't know that I needed.
Wow.
And God just brought you into my life in the perfect way. She is a powerhouse. If you've ever seen this girl preach, we were laughing. We just did a conference together, and we were laughing because we both can get very loud and passionate, and we're like, being quiet and gentle is just not our journey. It's just not. She is a powerhouse. She's a pastor at River of Life in Merritt Island, Florida. And it's funny because my dad is actually who connected us. And I remember my dad said, you really should hang out with Candace Burney. I think you'd really like her. And I was like, sure. Well, that's fine. Let's go get some coffee. And then cut to, we got coffee and it was like 3.5 hours later.
We just
talked and connected. And I remember sitting down with you and thinking, oh yeah, this is my kind of girl. Like, I literally in my mind was like, this is the kind of girl that I can run with her.
Yeah.
So I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that you took the time to come here and to be here. And so for those that don't know you, I just want to kind of toss it to you and say, you know, maybe share some of your story, who you are, your testimony, just so we can get to know you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks, Allison, for having me.
Welcome.
I feel the same way. I feel like you are a friend that I didn't know I needed either. And so, yeah. You're pretty awesome.
Won't I do it?
But yeah, thanks so much for having me on here. Yeah, a little bit about me. I'm a pastor's kid, born and raised in Brevard County.
Don't I know
321.
It?
Yeah.
That's another weird thing about me and you is that so much of our life is so similar.
Yeah.
Which, how did we not get connected beforehand?
You know,
I don't know.
God's timing.
It is God's timing. Let's go, PK.
But yeah, so we have some crazy stories.
Yeah.
You know, that's for sure.
No doubt.
So yeah, grew up here. And then just honestly, like, my testimony, meeting the Lord all throughout my life, being in the church, but really had an encounter with God when I was 15 years old. And just really knew what it was to have a relationship with Him for the first time. And then went overseas, did some missions work.
You know, where? Tell the people.
I went to the Middle East.
Let's go.
Super fun.
Yeah.
And then came back and knew the Lord was telling me to stay here. And so I've just been here ever since.
Yeah.
This is my home.
Yeah.
This is my land. Love it.
And I love that. That's actually one thing that I really love about who you are. I've talked about it before on previous episodes, but about stewarding regional revival. Mm. And it's really interesting that the Lord took you to the nations, but He brought you back to your home.
Yeah.
And I feel like one of the things that you do so well is steward regional revival.
Wow.
And you're so passionate, and there's so many people in places that they honestly don't love. And when we have talked, we've talked about how much we love this place.
Yeah.
And we love these people.
Yeah.
And we love what God is doing in this place. And I feel like it's so important to have leaders and believers who are like, I'm going to be planted and I want to see heaven come in this area. And so that's one of the things that I love so much about you. But speaking of regional revival, I think sometimes that can be a buzzword.
Yeah.
Where people are, you know, talking about revival.
Yeah.
And I think that you steward it so well. When I feel like you're such a fire starter that any person who comes in contact with you just gets lit up with passion and excitement and fervor to advance the kingdom. And so I just wanted to hear from you. what is revival?
Yeah.
And what does it look like to actually steward that?
Yeah.
On a day-to-day basis,
yeah,
in your family, in your, you know, workplace, in your church, in your community, what does that look like?
Yeah. Well, I think you're 100% correct. I think revivals become more like a one-time event of gatherings. You know, we grew up in the 90s to early 2000s. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, not well, to the 90s. The 90s. Well, you know, it's a thing now, though, so.
Yeah.
But I think revival, because of that, it's just become such a word that's more of like a blockage for people instead of an invitation to know God on a daily basis. And so I think practically speaking, it's that Leviticus 6 call to fan the flame, steward the flame, that first love flame. I think it's an old cry that God put in the hearts of us, his kids. And I think it's daily encounter with the Lord. It's a daily, hot, fresh pursuit of his presence.
Wow.
And like you said, it was never meant to be relegated to the four walls of a church. It was never meant to be confined to a gathering, a service.
Come on.
It was meant to be a daily life, a daily encounter with the Lord,
yeah,
where we are pursuing his face. He's knowing us. And then we go outside of our homes, of our places, and we go into our workplaces, our friend circles, coffee shops, everywhere we go, and we just burn with passion for Jesus.
Yeah.
For knowing him, for taking great risk, having great faith in him. And I think that that's a lot of reason why revival has gotten to be such a buzzword.
Right.
Instead of a knowing of God, an invitation to, yeah, know him more and to be all that he's called us to be. So,
yeah. And I think what's interesting about that too is that revival's not just an emotional moment.
Come on.
That, like, you know, you'd hear about the tent revivals and,
yeah,
and all of those things. It's like, in my mind, the way that I process it is it's a coming back to life. Like,
mm-hmm,
it is him bringing the dead things back to life.
Yeah.
So that we're living fully in who he has created us to be. And so it's more than an emotion. It's, yeah, more than a moment. And moments are good and they kickstart things for us.
Yeah.
But there's actually can be longevity to revival.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that this new generation of people who are following after Jesus, we have so many greats in the faith.
Yeah.
And so many amazing things that God did. But we see the flame and then we see the crash.
Right.
And so I think that part of that is, how do we live out revival,
right,
with longevity? And so in our area, because this is a place that you're stewarding, how would you say that you guys at your church, you personally are stewarding revival?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's taking that, like you said, the dead things back to life.
Yeah.
Taking that into my daily life.
Wow.
And coming to the Lord every day saying, I need you to breathe fresh life on me.
Wow.
Every day, right? Every breath I take, God, I want you to breathe fresh life on me. And I think it has to be a daily pursuit,
yeah,
more than anything,
right?
In your church community, I think it also is your community of people around you.
Oh.
You won't really burn. I mean, you can burn alone, but you were meant to burn with others. And a lot of times, it's the company you keep that helps the flame continue and grow.
Yeah.
And so, I think it's about finding other burning ones, and then it's about lighting fires wherever you go.
Yeah.
And so, it's really paying attention to, Lord, where is my heart when it comes to you? Have I grown cold to your voice? Have I grown cold to, you know, the things you're calling me into? Do I have a desire to be in your presence, to be in the word, you know, to, when I'm around people, do I talk about you?
Yeah.
You know, do I feel your presence with me when I'm doing mundane things, the things, yeah, of life? Am I aware of you? Am I aware of your availability to me and, wow, to others around me? And so I think really practically, that stewarding revival is an awareness of his voice, an awareness of his presence. He's in the enjoyment of life.
Yeah.
He's in the pains of life. He's in the everyday things. And I think it's literally just shifting our attention,
yeah,
to his presence wherever, whatever we're doing.
Yeah.
And not just taking him and limiting him to, oh, I go to church on Sundays, or I go to this group once a week. It's everywhere I am, he's there with me.
Yeah.
And he's available to me. He wants to say something. He wants to do something. And it's just saying, God, I'm available to you as much as you're available to me.
Wow, that's so powerful. And I think that as you're talking, I keep thinking of, like, that's the stuff of real relationship with God.
Yeah.
And not the institution of religion.
Right.
Well, that's the difference of, like, it's the daily walk with him where, you know, like, for me, even on my way to work, I'm like, I cannot do this without you. Or I'm like,
yeah,
I need you every moment. Like you said, every breath, like there is such an utter dependency on the Lord to lead me and to guide me. And that's the stuff of relationship versus religion, which I think is super powerful.
Yeah.
So what would you say with, because God's doing so much.
Yeah, he is.
And even if you want to speak on some of the things that God is doing, you know, in our area, you're more than welcome to. But what are you sensing that God is doing in this region and in this season? What is that thing where you're like, yeah, God's on the move in this way?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to share some of that.
Yeah, I feel like there's such a fresh hunger in our area. I think that Brevard County is like a county of dreamers, of innovators. I think there's such like, there's not a, it's not a coincidence that SpaceX, NASA, Blue Origins, like dreamers, we have so many businessmen and women, so many people that come in here and they just like have capacity to dream.
Yeah.
I think that's God given and God breathed.
Yeah.
I think we have a lot of creative people in our area. And I just, I think that, yeah, the Lord is speaking through that. Like he wants to break the divide of what revival looks like, even we were just talking about, in expression, you know, in this area. Like how do I take that out of the four walls of the church into my daily life, into what I do?
Yeah.
You know, whether it's, you know, a person singing, a person, you know, is on the school board, a person, you know, a doctor, you know, any kind of profession. I think in our area specifically, I think there's a grace on our area to really explore with God the things that he's gifted us in and to strategize with God, to dream with him. I think there's this is a land of dreamers.
Yeah.
And I think that there's nothing that's impossible here. And so I just sense like this fresh hunger to know God, but also when you know God, there's like an obligation to do something with that encounter you've had with him. And so I think God's bringing people into a place of knowing who is kind of like knowing and becoming.
Yeah.
But really, honestly, knowing God in a deeper way and then becoming who he's called them to be.
What?
And it's an area of no limits. And so I just feel like there's such a draw where, you know, we've grown up here and it's like so many people come and maybe they feel limited in some way of, do I need to leave? Do I need to go here or go there? But there's like this, there's an awareness now, I think, of, hey, I can dream in the place that God's placed me and I can be all he's called me to be right here. Wow. And I have everything I need to do that. And so I think there's, God's taking the lid off of our mindsets, off of the things, the way we see ourselves, the way we see our jobs, you know, our education. I think God is expanding our capacity to dream with him and then to do something with it.
Yeah.
So that's really what I'm feeling in this season, especially for our area.
That is such a powerful perspective. And I think you're right on when you're talking about the dreamers. You mentioned in your message at the conference we were just doing that the slogan of Merritt Island, what is it again?
Where dreams are launched.
Where dreams are launched.
Come on.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And I think even just declaring that prophetically over our area is so big.
Yeah.
I spoke about when we were at the conference, it's just fresh on my mind.
Yeah,
come on. I spoke about childlikeness and about the importance of imagination.
Yeah.
And letting our imagination run wild, and how often we limit God to what we think is possible. But when we actually are like a child and we consecrate our imagination unto Him, we'll think of things and dream things and imagine things that otherwise would not be possible.
Right.
And that is difficult for many to do,
right?
Because I think sometimes we use being like a realist as a way to make our faithlessness more palatable. And I feel like I'm in this place where I'm going, Lord, I don't want to limit you. So maybe my question for you is, how do you, as somebody who lives here, who loves this community, who is, you know, stewarding regional revival, how do you, and just personally, as a follower of Jesus, how do you steward dreaming? Because I have actually found in seasons of my life where I'm like, I don't know how to dream.
Yeah.
I feel as though I've lost my ability to dream.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a levity and a fun and a excitement to dreaming. And when you're going through something hard, it's hard to let your mind go to that place. And so how do you dream?
Wow,
and
that's like, a good question.
Yeah. And specifically, get yourself in the place where you can remove the limits and the cap and all of that, that we could put on the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. I definitely feel like I could definitely fall on the side of being a realist a lot of times.
Yeah.
In my mind. And so being intentional about dreaming is important.
Yep.
For me especially. Yeah. I have friends who are dreamers, and I'm like, I love being around them because you just,
it spurs you on.
Yeah, you're under that umbrella of like, oh my gosh, I feel like I can see differently. And I think like when I'm alone, I actually did something really practical. I got a book that said dreaming on it.
Wow.
And I just told the Lord, like, okay, this is going to be a book where you and I sit and we just talk about, you know, what is it that you've placed in my life? What is it that you want to give birth to? Like, what do you want to dream? And then God, like, how can I dream? Because I think, like, when we focus on how big God is, our dreams have to honor the greatness of who He is, right? So I don't have a right to have small dreams.
Woo!
Because He's big and He's unlimited.
Yeah.
And it's just like my dreams have to honor who my Father is. And so I'll go places, like I love going to the beach. This is just practical. I love going where the water is because I feel like it's vast and unlimited. So I put myself in places where nothing seems impossible, you know, nature, different spots. And then I'll just ask God, like, what's on your heart?
Yeah.
You know, I'll write down things that for me are in my heart.
Yep.
And then just like, God, just speak to that place. And then I will hang out with dreamers.
Yeah.
I will intentionally be around people that challenge my limitations.
Come on.
You know, you have to have, get you some good friends.
Yeah.
That dream, that have big faith.
That's
and
it.
Let it provoke you. Let it bother you. Let it challenge where you have small mindsets, you know, when you feel offended because somebody sees something that clashes with a barrier in your mind, lean into it and not away from it.
Yeah.
Those are, you know, those are things I do.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And you've mentioned it twice, and I think is really important, is having people in your life that will speak truth to you.
Yeah.
That will be real with you. And like you said, we'll push you to places that you would not have otherwise gone. And so I want to encourage everybody who's watching as well, like, your community is really important.
Come on.
And if you are lacking in community, my first thing that I would encourage you to do is bring that as a request before the Lord, because God cares more about your community than you do and wants to strategically connect you with people that are going to spur you on, and that's you can spur them on as well. And so, and I want to say thank you to you as well, Candace, because I feel like you have been that for me, and have filled a place in my heart that, again, I didn't even realize I needed. And I think that that's, when you're around somebody who throws fire on your dreams and not water.
Yeah.
Of like, no, dream bigger. Yeah. Like there's more out there. So I just want to say thank you to you for being someone in my life to do that. Yeah. I really appreciate that.
Wow. Ditto.
Yeah. Oh, oh shoot. Okay. So next question I want to ask is, and this is a quality that I really love about who you are. So if you have ever heard Candace speak, spent any amount of time with her, you know that you are as real and authentic as it gets.
Oh, praise God.
So, like, when I talk to you, I don't feel like I'm getting some generic brand Christian gobbledygook. Like, sometimes it's really raw, and sometimes it's messy.
Yeah.
And there's so much beauty that I have found in people who lead with authenticity, in realness, and I feel like you do that. Even when I've heard you speak, a lot of the times you'll ask, you know, the people in the crowd of like, is it okay if I'm vulnerable with you? Like, can I go there?
Right.
And you do, and you do go there. And that's one thing that I love about who you are. And so my question to you is, what does it look like first with the Lord to be honest and real and authentic with him as our father and as our advisor and the one who leads us and guides us? What does it look like for you to be real and honest with him? And then how do you lead from that place with other people?
That's a great question. Yeah. You know, the passage of scripture that changed my life when it came to being authentic was this probably borderline scary passage we reach where you're standing before God and he says, you know, you're a worker of iniquity. I never knew you, right?
Yeah.
And we don't know what to do with that sometimes. It's scary, right? It's like the scriptures were like, let's not talk about that. But I remember reading that and going back to the Psalms and David, and it's, you know, the Lord saying, I never knew you. And knowing has to do with ongoing experiential encounter. It has to do with relationship. And so what he's talking about are people that did miracle signs and wonders in his name, but never had daily relationship with him.
Come on.
So he's saying, I never knew you. And I see David saying, search me, know my ways. And what's beautiful is oftentimes we talk to the Lord like, you know everything about me. You're omnipotent, you know, you're omniscient. Like, you know everything about me, God, but he wants to know me.
Yeah.
So just because he made me and he already knows everything, he longs for relationship with me. Yep. And when I see someone like David who invites God to know him in a deep and personal way and is very messy,
the most,
very crazy,
the most,
you know, totally unhinged. That really shifted my perspective a lot of times, growing up in church, seeing people have the face, but be a mess underneath. Yeah. And I just remember going to the Lord and being like, I don't want to be someone that doesn't invite you to know them, even though you made me. I want a relationship with you that's real.
Yeah.
You know, I want to invite you into the pain of my life. If I can be honest with the pain with you, you know, you should be the safest person in my life, the safest voice in my life. And so I started to shift my time with the Lord to be very raw, because he already knows me, he already made me, he already knows what's going on. So why hide? You know, it's exhausting to hide, it's exhausting to pretend when he already knows. So
true.
It's more like, hey, why play the game, you know, when the Lord's already ready and willing and knows. And so taking that in my personal life, but then going from to others, I think it has a lot to do with our identity. And so if I can't be fully known by God in the secret place, in my car driving, if I can't be vulnerable with him, then I won't be vulnerable to others. Even the level that I think I am, it's a self-deception, right? Because it starts with him.
Come on.
It starts in a place of safety. And then every person I talk to outside of that, like, I'm not worried when I talk to other people because I've been honest with God.
Yeah.
I'm not hiding from anyone.
Yeah.
And I know I'm fully loved and accepted in that place.
Yeah.
So regardless of who I'm talking to, who I'm leading, who I'm around, you know, workplace, life, friendships, it's like, well, I've already been fully open and honest with God about this in my life. Totally. So there's nothing that I need to hide.
Yeah.
There's nothing that I need to do to, you know, cover myself up. Like, yeah. I live fully known by Come God.
On. Yes.
And that's freeing.
Yeah.
And it causes us to lead others in our life. Yeah. And it invites people into authenticity. Yes. It's so refreshing to be around people that are like, listen, you could not like this conversation, but I'm loved.
Come on.
Like, nothing I do is going to change how he thinks about what he right. thinks about me, how he sees me. And so I feel like that's just like,
yep,
that's the place we don't have time to not be.
Let's
real,
go.
Right.
Yep. I feel like, at least in my life, the thing that has hindered me the most with being authentic and real, with the Lord and then with others is my vain attempt to come across strong.
Wow. Woo. Yeah.
Is like, I don't like feeling weak.
Yeah. Can't relate.
And yeah, like
totally.
I don't like, you know, the perception
yep.
that like, I should know better. I should be stronger than this. And
yeah.
And that's a lot of the most impactful conversations that I've had is when, and I've told this story before of my sister-in-law and me being honest. And I said the words like, I should be stronger than this. And she wow. was like, you are holding on to your strength as if it's something to boast about. And it's like, really not.
Yeah.
And so you're either going to tap into his strength
yeah.
and allow yourself to be weak before him and allow him to be strong, Come or on. You're going to rely on your strength and you're going to find out that it gets you nowhere.
Wow.
And which I'm like,
Dush. Yeah, right.
You know, like, okay, I'm weak, you know, like, oh yeah. But that's been like yeah. such a big journey for me of going like, I have to actually embrace the weakness that I know that I have
yeah.
Because now I'm giving space for the Lord to come
yeah.
Into the spaces of pain, into the spaces of confusion and bring peace, bring healing because yeah. I'm not trying to be my own defender
wow.
and self-protect because that's what that will lead you to is a place yeah. of self-protection.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, And I wonder, too, like, have you seen a difference as you have, you know, obviously implemented it in your own life and own walk with Jesus? Mm-hmm. Have you seen a difference in the way that you lead? You know, mm-hmm. I'm leading from a place of authenticity. Like, what has that created in terms of a culture in your yeah. church and in your relationships?
Yeah. Wow. I just want to say you do it very beautifully. I love watching you in the process of what you're saying. You're walking through. I yeah. can see it in your life, and it is such a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
you know, to contend for that with the Lord.
Yeah,
yeah. I think going into that place, like pursuing mm-hmm. that place with God of authenticity, of being real.
Yeah,
I just think it invites people.
Come on.
It's so invitational. I think sometimes yeah. in our minds we tell ourselves, if I'm real, they'll think different about me, right? We yep. go through all the things of like, if I, you know, what's the big lie? If you actually knew me, you yeah. wouldn't love me.
Yeah.
And the truth is, most people don't relate to our weakness or our strengths. They relate to our weaknesses.
Yep.
And so actually it creates a safe place for other people to come as they are, yep. which we know is Jesus's call for us, yeah. is come as you are.
Yeah.
You know, so we bypass this whole need to come with a false perception, a false image.
Yeah.
When you actually punch through the wall first,
wow.
it calls other people to a place where they can actually receive healing.
Yep.
They can actually get good counsel. They yeah. can actually experience what it's like to be real and be loved.
Yeah.
So I think I've seen that play out in my friend circles yeah. and, you know, in just leading in general yeah. is there becomes like this authentic family culture
yeah.
of how messy we are with family. Yeah. God knows, right? It's an invitation so to not just be church people, but to actually know what it means to be family, where family goes, hey.
Yes.
I see that in you. Let's talk about that,
yeah,
you know, but
yeah.
knowing that family, it's blood. Like,
yeah,
you're saying that, but you're not going to leave.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to stay.
Yeah.
And so I think it just totally dismantles a false reality that we live in and allows the Lord to really shine on us.
Yeah, that's so powerful. One of the things that I have seen in you and that I love about you so much is the way that, and you can even speak to this, but even in your own church, you know, your dad, your mom have pastored your church for so long, and there's a transfer, you yeah. know, that is happening, and in the process of you stepping in and taking leadership, and yeah. You know, that's a whole process in and of itself. And the beauty of generations,
yeah.
the older generations, and the road that they have walked, and the wisdom that they've gained. And, you know, all of that. And then this young generation that's zealous and passionate. And, you know, there's something new that God is doing in yeah. this generation. And I've watched you really walk that journey mm-hmm. out.
Yeah.
that is not always an easy journey.
Yeah.
And so my question for you is, as we, you know, we honor the previous generations, because I really feel that's God's heart,
yeah,
is that we honor those who have gone before us.
Come on.
And then honor goes both ways. That's right? Right. It's the honor then of the previous generation
yeah.
to say, I see what God is doing in your life. So what's one thing that you think we need from the older generation that they have
yeah.
and that we need?
Yeah.
And then the other question is, what's one thing that they need but we have?
Mm, that's a great, yeah, great question. I think obviously wisdom, but I would say if I could pinpoint one thing yeah. is grit.
Ooh.
I think that we need grit from the older generation.
Yeah.
We need that endurance mm-hmm. of like digging our feet in the dirt
wow.
and not moving. Of standing on the truth of what God says,
come
what
on.
He's speaking,
yep.
and refusing to be moved by circumstances, refusing to be moved by, dare I say, politics
yep.
and the swirl of life around
come
us,
on.
Like refusing to be moved by the latest and greatest trend, you know, relationship, anything.
That's it.
And to dig our feet in the dirt. And stand. When you've done all you can do to stand, stand.
Yeah. yeah.
Right? And I think that that generation, our parents' generation, has modeled that of
yes.
in the face of turmoil, in the face of life situations, absolute craziness.
Yeah.
Like they just stood firm and they were faithful.
Yes.
And I think that we need that encouragement of the scary ones that have been through it and
yeah.
can look you in the eyes and be like, you're going to make it.
Yeah.
You're going to get through this because...
Stand up.
Yeah, stand up.
Hold your head up. Yeah.
And I think we need that desperately
yeah.
from them. And I think on the flip side, what they need from us is vision, fresh vision.
Wow.
Obviously, we're zealous, we're passionate, right? That's like an age thing. It's just our youth. You know,
yeah.
it's like, well, we're young, right?
Yeah, we are young.
We are young. But vision, I see even in the Bible how... One generation, when they start to get to a certain place in their life, the next generation begins to pick up the vision.
That's it.
And so with the encouragement of the older generation saying, hey, you're going to get through this, and the vision that God's been giving the next generation,
yeah.
we will build
yes.
upon that.
Yes.
Upon what they've built, we'll go further.
Yeah.
Because that's the generational
That's what we're
joy.
Supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. So yeah, absolutely.
That's so good. And I love that you were talking about the grit
yeah.
that it takes. And I think that our generation can be sometimes easily led by emotion.
Come on.
And I think that it's the ones who are showing us how do we stand firm? How do we look circumstances in the face and say, you will bow to the name of Jesus?
Yeah.
Like, and yeah. actually navigate through this life with a backbone.
Yeah.
Wow. Of like, no, we're not going to sit back and just take every punch from the enemy
yeah.
that he wants to dish out.
Yeah.
And we're tossed to and fro.
Yeah.
But no, we can actually stand firm on the firm foundation.
Yeah.
I think it's so strong. But I love what you said about our generation. And I'm wondering from you, what are you perceiving, because you are pouring in so strongly into the next generation. I've mentioned a few times so far that we just had a conference, you at River of Life, you guys hosted, which I love the tent feel, like we're out there in the tent. Come on, it's so good. But hosting a space and a place for the next generation to come and to get lit on fire and to encounter God, like, I see you guys pouring in so strongly into the next generation. So what would you say that you are perceiving what God is doing in this next generation? What is he stirring up? What is he breathing? And even what is that new thing that God's on the move in this way.
Yeah. This is a special generation for sure. Yeah. And I've heard all the labels, right? All the great labels too. The John the Baptist generation, the zealous, Gen Zealous and all that, which I think is amazing and so true. But I think back to one of your other questions about authenticity, I think they carry such a demand for authenticity. I think they're so done with the hype. They're so done with the, you know, the lights, the prettiness. Like, we see it on social media. This generation will take the ugliest 0.5 pictures of you.
Yes.
And they love it. They just love the authenticity. They love the truth. And I think that, you know, it's the scripture of buy the truth, sell it not. Like, be fierce about the truth. Yes. They want the real thing.
Yep.
They won't settle for anything else, and they it's like they can sift a lie. They know when you're being fake.
Sniff it out. They can sniff it.
They are like bloodhounds. Yes. And I think that it's so beautiful because we've seen a deconstruction movement in the church.
Yep.
And I think it was very needed.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, even in all of its ugliness and all of the craziness of it, they're just picking apart, going, I want the God of the Bible.
Come on.
I want these words to be real. And they're looking for people who are willing to be like genuine, willing to be real and authentic and not just speak words to them, but to live a life that they can touch.
Yes.
And I think that that is something they're carrying is just this demand for truth, which is that's really the zeal of God.
Yes.
You know, that's the zeal that they're carrying isn't just for the sake of having passion. It's like, no, this thing has to be real or it's not.
That's it.
So I think that's what they're running with.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, even the scripture that says the pure in heart will see God.
Come on.
There is a purity in the pursuit of, I just want you.
Yeah.
And nothing else. There is a disdain for the everything else, you know, of like, I don't need all of that.
Yeah.
I really just need you. And there's such a purity in that.
Yeah.
And those who come with that purity, who say, only one thing is needed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Only one thing is needed. They're going to see God.
Come on.
And I think that they are. Like, I think of, you know, what was happening at Asbury.
Come on.
Yeah. Was that a year ago? A year or two, I don't know, you know, but you saw there was nothing flashy about what was happening in that space. No headliner, no, you know, whatever. And it was just like you mentioned earlier, it's hunger.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hunger for him, which I get excited for.
Yeah.
As the Lord continues to refine us and show us the spaces that we need to grow in, I get really excited for the move of God and what he's doing right now in this moment. It's very real.
Yeah.
It's very tangible, and his kingdom is advancing.
Yeah.
Which is exciting. So we're going to shift a little bit.
Okay.
And I'm excited,
okay,
you know, to talk about this because this is real.
Yeah.
We're going to get into it. I want to ask a question. We are both, me and you, young.
Yeah, that's right.
Young.
Young. Capital Y.
Single.
Capital Y.
All caps.
All
young.
Caps. Yeah.
But single women in ministry.
Come on.
And both who are very passionate for the things of God.
Yeah.
And with that comes a lot of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
With that comes a lot of challenges.
That's right.
Some people might think they know what True. That looks like, or could guess. And then there are ones who know what it's like. I want to talk about that because I think that there are people who would watch this that could glean from what God is doing in this space. And it's vulnerable, you know, and it's real and it's raw. And if we're going to talk about mess, like sometimes this space is messy.
Yeah.
So my question to you is this, is as a young single woman in ministry, what is, and I, it's hard to narrow down, but what is a challenge that you have faced on this journey? And what is a victory that you have seen as you have navigated this journey with the Lord? Because you can hold both at the same time.
Yeah.
You can have challenges and you can also have breakthrough in areas. So I wanted to just hear your heart on about maybe a challenge that you've faced and also a victory.
Yeah. It's not challenging at all.
Not at all. Not at all.
I know. I can hear your dad's voice just saying that to me. It's not a challenge, Candace. No.
Yeah.
No, I feel, gosh, a challenge that I've faced. You know, probably it's quite amazing. If we can just, we'll just go here.
Come on.
We'll just go deep dive there, in. No floaties, Candace. Right? We're going to the deep end. I think the biggest challenge is even though we live in America and even though we live in a first world country, we still live, especially in the church, we live in a very weird space sometimes when it comes to empowering women.
Yeah.
And
talk about it.
We're constantly, I think, questioning whether their voice is valuable or what they're able to do and what they're not able to do. And I think that discussion, I think the challenge, I think it's been just when you are trying to be obedient to what God's called you to do and you don't have a desire to lead if he doesn't want you to lead or, you know, you don't want to be anything he's not asking you to be. And then you have voices that come against it.
Yeah,
and I think that that challenge is just, you know, hey, I just want to be all that God's called me to be.
Yes.
And I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. I don't want to, you know, assume something. Obviously, we live in a feminist age, which whatever with that, right?
Like, dude, love, I'm with you.
I love being a woman, but I don't think that you have to fight for a place that God's given you. You just have to be.
Yeah.
And so, I would just say that that challenge of being questioned at times, you know, by those that honestly I think are on journeys, you know, people that, you know, we read scripture different ways. And I think that, you know, you're single, you're young, you feel like you have everything against you. You feel like, oh, I don't have the wisdom. I don't, I'm unmarried. Where's my covering, right?
Yeah.
So you're constantly questioning, am I disqualified?
Yep.
And obviously the Lord brings us into qualification, right?
Yeah.
I remember the Lord one time told me, I was in a gathering of young leaders and just feeling really insufficient, really inadequate. And there was just, I went to my car after and I was telling the Lord, like, I'm just a single young female.
Yeah.
Like exactly what you're saying. And the Lord said, I wish you could rattle off the list of qualifications of your life like you did your disqualifications.
Wow.
And so, yeah, one of those little holy rebukes. But yeah, definitely, I think just the challenge of trying to be, just accept who you are in spaces where it's challenged.
Yeah.
And then, but on the flip side, the beauty of it, a win, I would say, is actually I have brothers around me that have championed me. So even in the midst of conversations that feel like hopeless at times or like, Lord, like, you know, this feels like a lot. I've had men in my life. I've had fathers.
Yes.
Oh, thank God for fathers.
Yes.
Thank God for brothers.
Yes.
that have championed me. I've had men at times in my life where I've felt at my lowest or like, yeah, you know what, God, I could be a CEO. I could quit now.
Yeah.
And I could be a CEO at a company and no one would say anything.
Yeah.
But why have you called me to the church?
Yeah, you know what I mean? You're like, gosh, why?
But it's been beautiful because we get the opportunity for other young women to see us and feel like there's hope.
Yep.
Right? Or other women feeling like they have a voice. But then you have brothers and fathers who champion you in those moments, who are like, hey, we love you. We believe in you. Your voice matters. Your brother-in-law, Sweet Chris Johnson, shout out, just the other day was Angel. Saying that. And I'm like, oh, I needed that, right? Like, I've been able to see that when one side of the coin makes it sound like maybe men are against it, here rises these godly men who are like, hey, we're not threatened by your voice. We actually need your voice. We're actually better together.
Yes.
We actually want to do this side by side. We don't want to oppress or, you know, speak down to or view differently. We want to work side by side. And I had a man one time look at me and say, hey, Candace, like, when we're just empowering one side of the coin, we're missing the other half.
Yep.
Like men and, you know, we're made in the image of God. Yeah. And so that's male and female. And if we only are empowering one side, we're missing a whole nother side of God.
Come on.
And it's needed. And so I think even in the midst of painful moments of questioning, God's revealed, like, wait, there's a whole group of people that are actually championing and reflecting his heart. So yeah, it's a beautifully messy thing.
Yeah, it's, as Chris Johnson says, it's brutal.
It's beautiful.
It's come brutal. On, Chris. It is both beautiful and brutal sometimes. Yeah. As you were talking, I actually was thinking about a conversation that I had with my dad. And now both of us are extremely blessed, like you said, to be surrounded by fathers, both biological and, you know, not biological, who have championed us. And I have been surrounded by a father who, I mean, from the beginning is like, you know, could perceive some of the gifts that God has put in me. And like we talked about earlier, like threw fire on that and not water of like, go and be everything that, you know, God has called you to do. And I remember there was a time where we were facing some challenges where we were coming up against you can't do that because you're a woman.
Yay.
And I remember talking to my dad and him talking about when we look back on this, you'll realize that you were taking ground.
Wow.
That the ones behind you,
wow,
you are literally paving a way for the ones behind you. And so though this is painful, there is purpose in this, because you're paving the way for others. You're literally, like, I picture it like almost like the woods where there's just a lot of vegetation and you're having to go in and you're cutting back and you're forging a way forward. And I think that in that gave me a lot of purpose of saying, like, something's actually happening in the spirit and in the kingdom.
Come on.
As we champion those around us to say, just be everything that God has called you to be. Yeah. And knowing that our Father is the one who empowers us, like our Heavenly Father is ultimately the one who has empowered us and gifted us.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's important for young women and men to know, is that some of these moments where there is challenge and pushback and fight, you're actually taking ground in the kingdom. Wow. And it makes it all worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I've had moments where I was staring that in the face and it felt so foreign to me because I'm like, I've only ever been championed, you know? And then when you realize, like, oh, there's those that don't and would try and push that on me. It was it was that of going, okay, there's purpose in this journey right now. So my question to you then is, if you were sitting across from a young girl, you know, hungry to serve Jesus, hungry to minister, and honestly, in whatever capacity that is. It doesn't have to be a staffed position on, you know, in a church. A young woman in ministry, what is the advice as someone who has taken ground and has fought battles? And can I just say this? You mentioned this, that you fight and you take ground, but I think that it is a sign of real maturity to not diminish the men. Then the men are our enemy. You're not.
Come on.
You know, we don't war against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities. Like, there is no gender that is now my enemy. We are actually called to link arms. And so I'm going to honor the gift that God has given you, even if you don't honor the gift that God has given me. And I think that takes real maturity. And so if you were giving a young woman who is burning to serve Jesus, what's the advice that you would give to her as she starts to walk forward?
I think it's so important that we walk in humility. I used to hate the Proverbs 31 woman growing up, because I was like, it was always always felt weak to me. But the truth of the matter is that if we posture ourselves in humility and not fight battles that we weren't called to fight out of striving, we actually have to rest and look at our femininity as something beautiful before the Lord, and not as a weakness, not as a fight to be won, but more like, you know what, Lord, you didn't apologize when you made me. You didn't apologize when you gave me a voice. You didn't apologize when you called me to be in whatever place you've called me to be in.
That's it.
You know, I'm just going to rest in that and who you created me to be. And God, help me to serve those around me. I feel like a lot of the open doors for me came from just honoring people around me. Even when I didn't feel like maybe the honor flowed both ways. And that's where God was doing something deeper in me. Because if we're going to have breakthrough in these areas of, you know, women, young women coming into these places that God is putting them. They're not putting themselves there. God's going to put them there.
Come on.
It's going to come from the meek, the humble. They're the ones that will inherit the earth. Regardless of gender. It's the humble and the meek. And so I would say, put your armor down. And take a posture of humility and serve your brothers, serve your fathers, love well. You know, let it pierce you, but also don't apologize. Don't shrink back.
Come on.
You know, don't push down doors that God's not closing in front of you. Only walk through the ones he opens in front of you. You'll find people in your life that will recognize. You know, I think of a relationship in my life where probably a year and a half, I thought this fatherly figure hated me. I just felt it. You know, I just felt like, oh, I don't think you, you know, see it. And then a year and a half later, but I just kept coming. Coming and serving. Just one day just started weeping and invited me into a place of influence. And I was so moved, because what the Lord was doing in me was, hey, don't run away.
Come on.
Because it looks hard. Stay and love, because they're wonderful people. Right? Just because there's those that are on a journey. God oftentimes calls us into these places, like David serving Saul's, know, and calls us into these realms. And that's not saying, that's not God's best for me, I'm out of here. It's no, can you actually just remain here and reflect my heart, and then watch what I'll do. And so I would encourage young women to not fight battles God's not calling them to fight, but to remain in love and to serve. And gosh, don't shrink back. Don't shrink back at all.
I just hope every young girl who's watching this, I mean, this is straight wisdom. Like, this is so powerful and will change the game. You don't have to fight for a seat at the table.
Come on.
You just don't, you don't have to. It's so powerful. So I want to shift a little bit into the singleness aspect of this. Because again, it's real, it's raw, it's a journey. And that's, it's so funny, you know, when we have coffee and we're just talking, you know, we'll talk about this of like, dude, this is hard sometimes. Like, to navigate this and and walk this out with the Lord. And so we've got a very interesting dating culture at the moment in in our generation and our time. Things are not the way that they used to be. And so my question for you is, what do you believe that this generation needs while they're currently in this dating culture? Like, what is something that we need as we navigate this area of life?
Oh, wow. So much. We need so much. We need Jesus so much.
It's so true.
You know, as somebody's who grew up in church culture, practically speaking, I think we need to not be so afraid of making the wrong decision.
Wow.
I think there's a lot of fear in young men and women around that, like going to coffee with someone isn't proposing. You know, you don't have to marry a person you have coffee with.
Thank God.
I just say that. Thank God.
But
thank
a
God.
Lot of crazy coffee dates.
You
thank
get
God.
Great coffee. And you know, but I mean, patience. Patience is a huge one, but also just, I think our standards, fighting for good standards, fighting for hope. You know, I just personally, I think trusting and hoping in the Lord. It's like, I'm just reading in the Psalms so much, like, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, in the Proverbs, right? Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. I think it's just this thing of like, God, I either trust you with all that I am or I don't.
Come on.
And I need to let that pierce me. I need to let it cut me deep. It's like, you know, God, I believe that whatever you have for me, whoever you have for me, you know, I'm going to be open. I'm going to be open. But I'm going to trust you in this. And so I think from a female perspective, hey, don't be desperate. You know,
shout out.
Shout out. Don't be desperate.
Come on.
And on a male, even though I'm not a male. Be bold. Shoot your shot. Like, go for it.
Come
you
on.
Know, do your thing.
Tell them.
Be that pursuer.
Let's go.
You know, and girls respond. You know, be kind.
Kind.
Respond. Be real about what you bring to the table. You know, I love something my dad always used to say to me is, you know, Candace, what you want in someone, you have to ask yourself, do you also carry that as well?
Totally.
And so I think an honest evaluation of who we are. And having grace for people. Like, hey, we're not going to meet perfection itself. There's only one who's perfect, and that's Jesus. And he can be your boyfriend forever if you want. Or, you know, but come on, you want somebody, right?
So let's be real.
So, yeah, I think just being patient, trusting in the Lord, having good standards, is just a steady path to take with God, and just casting your cares on Him and being open. Have fun in it. Have fun in it. In the midst of tears or heartache or, you know, points of desperation, it's like, okay, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to climb out of it. And I'm just going to keep going and, see what the Lord does.
I love what you said, because even in our conversations, there have both been moments of low points,
pretty
as
low,
we've discussed and processed and like what we've encountered, but also it's the spurring each other on again unto hope.
Come on.
And even in our last conversation, you know, we were at coffee and I told you, I said, one of the things I feel like the Lord is reminding me is that I'm a prisoner of hope. Just like the Apostle Paul, like, I am quite literally chained to hope. Like, I have no other option. And so I choose, as I navigate this process of like, I am going to be a prisoner of hope, and God withholds no good thing from me. You know, as we kind of near the end of our conversation, I do want to ask, I thought this while you were speaking. Can you share with us, because I want those who are watching, there are those who know what we're talking about, and there are those who are in a different season of life, and they long to be helpful. And they long to encourage those who are walking this journey.
Yeah.
And so can you just give me, you know, an example of something that was unhelpful that somebody said to you?
Sure.
And can you give me an example of what has been helpful for you as you've navigated this journey? Because I think a lot of times, and we've talked about this, people will talk and their intentions are good.
Right.
Right. To help and encourage and love. Yeah. But sometimes it's very unhelpful. And then there are those who approach the situation and really can stir your heart on to hope in the Lord. So can you give me an example of that?
Of both.
Yeah. Well, you know, at first I just want to say, like, I'm grateful for people around us that, you know, really want to be helpful. I am grateful for that. I would say, like, you know, when you go through highs and lows and when you're contending for something, you're very tender and can be very sensitive. And so, like, I have great days and then I have not so great days.
So true.
And, you know, people around don't always know that, right? But when you're contending for something, it's just the nature of it. I would say something unhelpful sometimes is just, hey, you know, praying for your husband, which can sound super harmless, but not knowing where a person is on the journey. You know, I have friends that don't want to be married, you know, and they're not just giving up. They're just truly content.
Yeah.
I've felt in times like that where I'm having a great day and someone saying that for me, which might impact somebody else differently. I'll all of a sudden be aware of, like, a deficiency. I feel like all of a sudden I'm not enough in myself of, oh, wait, you're missing half of your body.
Yeah.
And it's kind of drawn my awareness away from, like, hey, I can be content in this season of my life to, hey, you're missing something and you're not complete without it.
Yeah.
And so that to me at times has been unhelpful.
Yeah.
But helpful at the same time, I think, have been friends that more come to me and ask questions. They approach me a lot more, like, on an inquisitive level of just, like, how are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you hoping for? Instead of maybe assuming where I'm at that day or assuming where I'm at in my process, they're more asking me, you know, how can I pray for you? Or what is it that I can dream with you about in this area of your life? And champion me in that. Because some weeks it's like, hey, I'm content.
I'm good.
I don't want to do this right now. I just want to I just want to be happy this week and not focus on it. And there's other times where I'm like, hey, could really use some prayer. Yeah. And, like, I would love for God to bring this person in my life. So I think coming at it more from an angle of wanting to understand and wanting to know how they can be helpful.
Yep.
Versus assuming where I'm at. It's been great that way, I think.
Yeah, that is, that's some good advice right there.
Yeah.
For those is come in slow and low, you know, and and not coming from the place like, you know, exactly, you know, this is the solution.
Yeah.
Let me just slap it on you. You just need to trust God. And you're like, okay, well, what have I been doing? Okay.
He's out there.
Like, just he'll come when you're not looking for it. And you're like, oh.
She went there. She went there.
You know, like, those sorts of things that are like, oh, sometimes it feels like salt in the wound.
Right.
But when somebody comes with humility, like you said, and they ask questions, and they also are there to walk the journey out with you, and it's not just a moment of, like, praying for you, but, like, will you also be there, you know, in a week or a month or 6 months, you know, to walk this out. Those are the people that I give more space to in my journey versus, you know, somebody who might be well-meaning in a moment but actually doesn't necessarily do what it takes to carry it with you. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
But as we end, I have one last question for you. And, you know, obviously, No One Become is centered on Colossians 3:10.
Yeah.
And that we're being transformed, renewed as we learn to know our Creator and to become like Him. And so I always like to end the episodes by asking, what is something that God is revealing to you about who He is?
Wow.
And how is that shaping you into who you are becoming?
Wow.
It's a big question.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I love what you're doing, Allison.
Thanks.
I just want to shamelessly say I love that you're calling a generation into this, because I think it's so needed. And I feel like it's such an arrow for the Lord to open that up in us of knowing and becoming. And yeah, just want to thank you for what you're doing.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thanks.
For me, knowing and becoming in this season, God's really been revealing his kindness to me.
Yes.
Which, coming from like a very powerful person,
yes, yeah.
understanding the power of kindness, that it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance, an angry altar call, and not, you know, a hand to the face or anything like that. It's the kindness of the Lord.
Yeah.
He's been taking me on a journey personally into the depths of his kindness, of how deep it really goes and what it really means for him to approach me with kindness and approach those around me with kindness. I think that he's expanding that understanding in me of how I deal with other people.
Yeah.
He's been showing me a lot of just like reels in my brain of, this is how he met me when I wasn't lovely, right? Yeah. This is how he handled me when I spout off at the mouth, you know, or which I know we never do, right? Totally.
Never.
Never. Totally clean.
Don't know her.
Totally. And I think the Lord just bringing an awareness to me of his kindness towards me has allowed me to see others very, very differently.
Yeah.
Allowed me to have more grace for people.
Yeah.
Allowed maybe the rougher sides of who I am to be softened.
Yes.
Of, hey, kindness is actually strength. Like, it doesn't have to be loud. It doesn't have to come with a rigidity to it. Like, kindness, it actually brings repentance.
Yes.
So it's not the level of my voice. It's not the harshness or the intensity that I carry. It's a posture of my heart. It's revealing who he is to me. And so I think knowing that about him and then walking in that, becoming kindness to others.
Yeah.
It's really just been the season that he's been bringing me through, is shaping that in me and knowing that that's strength just as much as any other part of me is.
Wow, that is so powerful. And I just want to tell you, I am your biggest fan. I think that the way that you lead, the way that you live your life on and off the stage is incredibly powerful. You are such a beautiful leader. You're such a beautiful friend. And I'm so thankful that we get to do life alongside of each other. And thank you for the ways that you have spurred me on and showed me more of who Jesus is, and his kindness and his goodness, his faithfulness, just all of that. I'm incredibly grateful to you. And it's just been an honor to have you. And before we go, I want to give you the opportunity, you know, what is a way that people can follow you, can keep up with what God's doing here in you and your church?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You can follow our School of Ministry.
Hey!
I get to be the director of River School of Ministry. And
so good.
Raising up incredibly powerful people in our county.
Yep.
So that's River School of Ministry.
Yep.
And Candace Burney, you can follow me on Instagram.
Yeah.
Any other things. And such an honor, Allison, to be here with you and to know you.
Yeah, I'm so grateful. And also, before we go, I always just want to give the biggest shout out to Slate and Stone. They're shaking their heads right now behind the camera as I'm saying
they're
this.
Amazing.
They are such an incredible couple. If you know Cassie and TJ, they lead with excellence. They lead with excellence, and they're the most generous people that I know.
Wow.
And you know, to have somebody who can creatively come alongside of you. This couple is someone in my life who has thrown fire on my dreams and taken the gifts and skills that God has given them and so blessed me with it. And so if you have any photo and video needs, they are the ones you need to go to. So I just, again, want to give such a big thank you to everything that they do for making this possible and facilitating this chat. So thank you guys. We love you. Thank you. Yay. Candace. And we will see you guys for the next episode.